Well, good morning, everybody. So just to get it right out there in the open, I am not going to give you the Romans Road quiz this morning. So that's 2 weeks in a row now that you haven't had the quiz. So I'm sure next week Pastor Greg has something special planned for you. So, and he's nodding in agreement. So, all right. So we're nearing the end of our series in Romans titled Unashamed, and we get that from Romans 1:16, which starts by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. All right, well, last week, Pastor Greg showed us how we can still have a spirit of love and unity, even when we don't see eye to eye on things like politics or COVID, masks, vaccines, even doctrinal issues. This morning, I want to continue that discussion on how we treat each other in the church. But I also want to talk about the impact and the consequences of that behavior on the world around us. Our text this morning is from Romans 15. And I'm going to start at verse 1. In your notes, I think it starts at verse 5. But I'm going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 6. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that your word would sink into our hearts and that we would be a people that would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this section in Romans 15 finishes the discussion started in 14 on how we should treat each other in the family of God. But ultimately, it's telling us that when you and I treat each other in a spirit of love and unity, God is glorified. When I was looking at this and I looked at chapter 14 and chapter 15, this really spoke to me about community and spoke to me about family. Now, let me take a few seconds just to share a little bit about myself. I know most of you, but there's some I don't know. My wife Leanne and I, we've been married for over 30 years now. I got that right, right? Over 30 years. We have three grown children. Growing up, I grew up as an only child. And my wife's an only child. And so, what that means is for my kids, no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. I didn't even have any pets growing up. But even you know, being a husband, being a father all these years, there was something about me that identified as being alone, being that only child. And that stuck with me. And I didn't mention my wife's an only child, and so I don't know how she felt about it, but as far as me, I was always alone. But that all changed in 2019. In 2019, I was contacted by this woman who said that she thought she was my biological half-sister. Well, I was skeptical. But as we talked and we compared notes, we compared photos, it was evident that this needed to be looked into a little bit more. And so we finally got the DNA test done. And, it turns out I have a sister. And so the question was, now what? I got a sister. I mean, it was obvious that this wasn't going to be your typical brother-sister relationship. I mean, we had no common history. But we both decided, that this relationship was important to us. And so we kept in touch. We talked on the phone, we texted, FaceTime. And then finally, on January 1st, 2020, we met face-to-face over a two-day period. and we got to, you know, share more stories, share more photos, and I got to meet my niece and my nephew. You know, I'm Uncle Jim to some people in this world, you know, and that like, I know to some of you that's not a big, but to me that was a big deal. I'm Uncle Jim. And, you know, my sister's name's Lisa, and just having Lisa in my life just made my life fuller and richer. And it was all because we had that attitude that said, you're important, this relationship matters, I want you in my life, and I want to be a part of your life. So what's the point of bringing all this up? Well, the point is that you have brothers and sisters that you might not know of either, but they're sitting all around you. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and you got to ask yourself the same question that I ask myself. Is this relationship important to you? Or is this just information? Or will there be a relationship from it? This morning, I hope to show you the importance of your relationship with other believers and how that relationship ultimately glorifies God. So the first thing, and the first point in your notes is you are part of the family of God. You are, and it's my hope to convince you of that. Your relationship to Christ is personal, but God never intended it to be private. You are connected to every other believer. I like how Rick Warren says it. He says, the Bible teaches that when we are saved from our sins, we become part of something bigger than ourselves. We are not called to just believe, but also to belong. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, formed for family, and none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible doesn't speak of solitary saints or spiritual hermits. Now follow that with Ephesians 2:19 that says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Three things Ephesians 2:19 tells us. One, the church is a family. Two, God expects you to be part of the church family. And three, the Christian life is lived in community. It's lived with the family. In preparing this message, I came across a study that identified a growing number of Christians that say they love Jesus, they believe in the scriptures, and pretty much most of the same tenets of faith that you and I believe in. But they have completely lost faith in the church. These are people that say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Now, in the study, there were two main reasons given for this attitude. And one naturally was that somebody in the church hurt them. And for the most part, it was church leaders that they got hurt by. But the most prevalent reason given was simply that church wasn't relevant to them. And even though the study didn't say this, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, the church probably wasn't relevant to them because they didn't have relevant relationships in the church. You know, and to those people who have that attitude, it's just my opinion that I don't think you can be the person God intended you to be in isolation. I don't think it can happen. Now, there's lots of reasons. I want to give you three really quick. First, the Bible says that you are part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now some people might say, well, yeah, big C church. But I think it's also talking about the little C, the local church. And one of the reasons why I believe that is that there's a whole list of things in the Bible that we're called to do for one another that you can't do in isolation. And I call these the one another's. And they go like this. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Greet one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Submit to one another. Teach and admonish one another, and love one another. I'm pretty sure you can't do the one another's alone. I mean, you have to do this in community. And the final reason I'll give this morning, and you can look up more yourself, and I heard this in our Jesus Jumpstart. We have a group of people that meet in the morning for 15 minutes of devotional, and I'm trying to remember who said this. Anyway, but I'll just say it. And it was simply that we all get gifts from the Holy Spirit, not to help ourselves, but to help others. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good." We all get spiritual gifts to help others, not to help ourselves. So I hope you can see that you really can't live this Christian life alone. And just one last thing I want to mention, it just popped to my mind, is I don't think it's possible to say that you love God and you don't love his children, that you don't love the people that he loves, and that you separate yourself from them. So you are part of a church family. Well, so now what? You're basically at the point that Lisa and I were at when we found out that we were family. What are you going to do? Is this just information, or is there going to be a relationship? Now, we just read Ephesians 2:19. And so, unlike Lisa and me, I don't think you really have a choice. You are part of a family, and you do have family responsibilities. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And when I say responsibilities, I'm not talking about a list of things we need to do. I'm talking about attitudes that you and I need to have. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says this, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up." So there's three things I see right away from this. One is that we need to be selfless. We need to put the good of others before ourselves. We need to be an encourager. We need to lift people up with our actions, with our words. And we really need to look out for each other. And the language here is strong. It's an obligation. It's a duty. It's a responsibility. This isn't optional. It's more than being polite. It's more than being kind. This is the attitude that says, I want the very best for you, the absolute best. Now, in verse 3, Paul gives us a little help as to what this looks like. He says, "For even Christ did not please himself." He didn't please himself when he stepped down from the glory of heaven to earth. He didn't please himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't please himself on the cross. He served and he suffered so others would benefit. Because no one is saying that this attitude is easy. Relationships aren't easy. Putting others before yourself isn't easy. I mean, naturally, we're just thinking of ourselves. See, you might have to suffer a little bit when you bite your tongue and don't express your opinion. You might have to suffer when you overlook an offense, when you've been wronged. You might have to suffer when you've been treated unfairly. You might have to suffer a little to please others and not please yourself. What Paul is saying here, though, is when you're feeling discouraged, when you're starting to feel a little sorry for yourself, that this is a little hard, consider Christ, who went before us and is our example. Now, I said earlier, this isn't easy, and we need help. And Paul saw that we needed help also. So this is the appeal that Paul makes in verse 5. He says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." This was Paul's prayer for the Christians in Rome, and it's a prayer for us today. It's a prayer of patience. It's a prayer of encouragement. It's because we're imperfect people trying to relate to other imperfect people. It's going to take prayer to become the people God's called us to be. It's going to take us on our knees to be in a place where God can change us. It's going to take listening and responding to God to be transformed to those people who live in that spirit of love and unity. Now, I was reading a book recently that took that aphorism, fake it till you make it, and kind of changed it a little bit and said, fake it till you become it. And I thought about that, and that was, in my opinion, that's pretty much what God's called us to do a lot of times. Because we're told to forgive, we're told to encourage, we're told to lift up somebody, and sometimes we just don't feel like doing it. You know, sometimes forgiving people's hard, especially when you're the one wronged. But there's something about when we step out in faith, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't really believe it deep down inside, but we're stepping out in faith, that God does a work inside of us and starts to transform us, and so that we become the people that he's called us to be, even when we don't start out that way. Now, this attitude of love and unity is critical for the body of Christ, because the unity of the family has a purpose. Anybody here watch Blue Bloods?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the family business in Blue Bloods is what? The law, yes. There's someone who's watched. The law. It's the law. We have a family business too. Our family business is to glorify God. Verse 6 says, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not unity for the sake of unity. When we relate to one another in a way that promotes love and unity, God is glorified. Unity here means unity of purpose. It means relating to other people with the same spirit of servanthood, submission, and delight that Jesus demonstrated. When we go out of our way to please one another, God is glorified. Listen to Jesus' word in John 13:35. He said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. When people see love and unity in action in the church, people see Jesus. When people see Jesus, lives are changed. When lives are changed, God is glorified. We see this in the book of Acts. Acts 2:42-47 and Acts 4:32. I'll read them together. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. When we have this attitude of love and unity, when we're looking out for each other, when we're forgiving each other, when we're meeting each other's needs, God is glorified and people take notice. You know, in the spirit of cultivate, plant, water, and harvest, this is it. This is it. When we treat each other this way, people will come pouring in here because they're going to see something. They're going to see a difference. They're going to see love in action. They're going to see unity. They're going to see healings happen. They're going to see people encouraged. And people will come pouring in here, and lives will be changed, and God will be glorified. There are three verses I want to give you this morning. And actually, I'm closing right now, Sean. I want to give you these three verses, though. These are three verses that if we follow these, our lives will be changed to people who look out for each other in love and unity. These, if we do these things, we will be a people that where God is glorified. Amen. Let me give them, they're not in your notes. Please write these down. Starting out with Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Value others above yourselves. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If we value others above ourselves, look to the interest of others, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, encourage one another, bear with each other, forgive each other. If we continue to meet together, we become the people that glorify God. That's who we become. I want to challenge you this morning. You know, I don't know why you come to church. I really don't. You know, I assume it's to be with some friends, to learn, the fellowship, the worship, but I don't know. Just share this vision with me this morning. What if we came here simply with the attitude that says, I want the very best for the people there. I want the very best for them. I want to do what I can for them. And put our needs and our desires aside. But just simply say, I want the best for the people around me. They're special. I want them in my life. And I want to make their life better. Can you imagine what it would look like if we just had that attitude? You know, and actually, it reminds me of the abundant life behaviors. Can we just reach out first? Can we serve someone? Express joy? Encourage one another? If we could just do these simple things, if this is our attitude when we come here, when we meet together, that these are the things we're going to do. This will be a place that's transformed. This is where love will happen. This is where unity happens. This is a place where we can feel safe. Because we are family. You know, part of the reason why this message is so important to me, you know, I mentioned it earlier, I have that mentality that I'm by myself. You know, Leanne's an only child. I'm an only child. We didn't have that structure to support us while we were here. When we went through trials and struggles, we had nothing. We had no one. But we had the church. You are our family. You're what saw us through all of it. Every bit of the way, you're our family. You're important to me. You are so, I can't even express how important you are to me. You're special, and I want the very best for you. And my prayer this morning is that you would have the same attitude for one another. That this would be more than just a place where we meet together. This would be a family gathering every Sunday and in your small groups. You know, too often we get the mentality that church is like a country club and that it's a place where we get served and that we get the benefits. But it's not a country club. This is a family gathering where you get to pour into the lives of others and to lift them up. Amen. I love you guys. And I want the very best for you. And my desire is that you will grab onto this. And just feel and know the importance of this family. This isn't just information. This is a relationship. And we need each other. And God needs us to need each other. Because when we lift each other up, God is the one who's glorified. When God's glorified, lives are going to be changed. We are going to reach this community. Amen. Amen. Pastor Sean.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jim. If you would, if you'd stand together with me, we're just going to sing a chorus before we conclude. The only way we can do this is through the power of the risen Lord. Through His Holy Spirit, we need to abide in Him. Let's just sing this before we break. When we conclude, we'll have the prayer partners up here to come and pray with you if you'd like to offer a prayer and just have someone to speak to, maybe about a need that you might have. So I just want to encourage you just to prepare yourself if you would like to do so. Let's just sing this together. I depend on you. I depend on you. Sing it again. I depend on you. I depend on you. I depend. I depend on you. Close, Lord. Teach us to abide in you. This world needs to hear that you are their Savior, the risen Lord Jesus. God, I pray that we would go from this place firm in our commitment, God, to love those who are around us. And daily, Lord God, I pray that we would respond to your word, that we would seek you. Allow ourselves, God, to just be completely consumed by the Word of God. Allow it, Father, to fill us. Holy Spirit, I pray, lead us and guide us as we go. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving to you all early. If you'd like prayer, we'll have the prayer partners here to pray with you. God bless. Maybe you can invite someone new out today. Abide in the Lord.